مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. It is the 19th night of Zulqa'da, Dil Haram, 1443 Hijri. Booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, page number 7, Saying of the Final Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, number 19. Whosoever recites this, اللهم صل على محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك يوم القيامة. My intercession becomes wajib for him. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد.
Right now I'm in Mach, a city of Balochistan in Nasirabad division. And this city is famous for coal mines. We're here to invite people towards righteousness. One brother approached me and asked that it is said that coal is from the treasures of Qarun. I was really surprised to know this because I had not read or heard this before. Is there any reality in this? Please guide us. Jazakallah.
Coals in the treasure of Qarun? They indeed are in his fate. He loved the wealth of this world. He was stingy. He committed the insult of a prophet. So all his treasures alongside him were made to sink inside the earth. His treasure was so enormous that only the keys to his treasure were lifted by 40 people. That's how many keys there were. So imagine how much treasure there would be. However, I've not read about coals anywhere. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
I've got one question from Amir of Ahlul Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, the way you follow teachings of Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Imam Ahmed Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, that is exemplary. Now my question to you is that, is following the teachings of Imam of Ahlul Sunnah necessary and important in this day and age as it was important in his time and era?
What are the teachings of the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah? Understanding this would resolve your query. The Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, the elite prophetic devotee, the revivalist of Sunnah, Maulana Shah Imam Ahmed Raza Khan rahimahullah, his teachings are not from his own self. It's from Quran and Hadith. So my master Imam Ahmed Raza Khan rahimahullah has given us Islamic teachings in the light of Quran and Hadith. And obviously Quran and Hadith are needed in every era. It is still needed as much as before, and it will also be needed after us. Certainly, the teachings of the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza Khan rahimahullah, can be acted upon in this era as well. It is being acted upon, and it should be acted upon. Dawah Islam is in front of you, and there are several millions of Ahlul Sunnah, as well as the ulama, the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, who although are not practically in Dawah Islami, but are adherent to the teachings of Imam Ahmed Raza Khan rahimahullah, alhamdulillah, they are crown of our head. So my advice to you would be that keep your eyes shut upon the teachings and fatawa, Islamic edicts of the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza Khan rahimahullah. Otherwise, you will slip into the pits of misguidance. Honestly speaking, also this is a recognizing tool for me, as in, if the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmed Raza Khan rahimahullah, is mentioned in front of someone and his face blossoms, freshens up and he displays happiness, then rest assured that he is from us. If it is otherwise, then you know who the other person is. May Allah shower his mercy and keep my offspring as well under the slavery of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah. And before this, that I drift away from the teachings of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah even in the slightest. May Allah Almighty grant me martyrdom with well-being in Madinatul Munawwara whilst remaining adherent to the teachings of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah. Just keep this in your mind that there's no way of deviating away from the teachings of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah even in the slightest. You know, regarding the dua that I just made, it is very long time ago, even before Dawat-e-Islami. Huzur Ghazaliye Dora, Ghazaliye Zama, Allama Kazimi Shah Sahib rahimahullah made this dua during the urs of the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, in Darul Uloom Amjadiya Karachi. His dua was that, O Allah Almighty, if I move away from the path of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, even in the slightest, give me death before this. And this dua just settled in my mind. I heard this address in my youth. Alhamdulillah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Dear Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, we have observed that you have been giving your precious time to the students of Jamiatul Madinah. And alhamdulillah, we have also seen its positive outcome. And my question is that, how can we get more of your time again and again?
You can get it all the time. Now the technology is so advanced. You have all my time in all the previous Madani Muzakaras, and then every week, alhamdulillah, Madani Muzakara can also be watched live. Those Islamic brothers who are from Karachi, they can physically join us, and those who are from outside Karachi, they can join us through Madani channel. Then it also depends on your efforts for joining physically. Even today, many people from many cities of Pakistan have joined us physically. So if you also make similar kind of efforts for joining us physically, then you'll get more time, inshallah. If you have true and sincere passion, then destination comes to you itself. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
One of our Islamic brothers has just talked about students of Jamiatul Madinah. I've noticed that you motivate and encourage these students a lot, those who are students and becoming Islamic scholars. You see, you keep motivating them to fast, to offer Salatul Tahajjud. You give them such various challenges to meet. Now, my question to you is that, do you think it will be beneficial if same motivation and encouragement is given to students of various other institutions? Will it be beneficial, and how to do this? Please guide.
You see, the thing is that the students are the future guides, i.e. the leaders. They will take control of the mihrab and minbar. Today they are becoming scholars, and in future they will be making scholars. Inshallah, they will produce scholars. So the more effort you exert upon them, the less it is. As in, they are our true investment and asset. The general public is also ours, obviously. But the true asset is the scholars. If you take these scholars out of a society, then there's nothing left behind. Nothing at all. Because try to understand that only the scholars are humans in true sense. Such are the sayings of the noble elders, that only scholars are human. So may Allah Almighty make them develop the passion that was instilled and embedded firmly in the characters of our pious predecessors. If so, the world will change upside down. Now the technology has advanced so much that within a very short span of time you can find out about the entire world. That's how it is now. There are several social media platforms through which you can do this. So they should be practicing, and first of all comes the set of beliefs. There should be no compromise in the set of beliefs. For example, in regards to the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt, our beliefs regarding them should be in the light of the teachings of Quran and Sunnah, which the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, has conveyed to us. We should submissively accept that every Sahabi of the Prophet is the dweller of paradise. We need to make sure that it's not a case that we come across and read a few historical facts, etc., and then fall prey to satanic whispers. And whatever is mentioned in Quran and Hadith, we leave all that behind and believe in historical tales. Such so-called intellect will not even be accepted by a filthy sewage. I'm emotively zealous when it comes to the Honorable Sahaba, as I love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So those who attain the company of the final Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I would point fingers at them now. What wisdom do I think I have? That I am able to understand their affairs and matters. Therefore, it is necessary to devotionally love and honor every Sahabi, otherwise you'll get destroyed without even realizing it. You'll realize it after your death, the time when there will be no chance to return back to worldly life. So make sure that you adopt the company of only those scholars who devotionally and ardently love and respect the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt and submissively sacrifice their lives upon them. Right? So every Sahabi is a paradise dweller, including Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu anhu, and all the Sahaba of the Prophet. No one is inferior amongst them. All are superior. It is a different matter that the eminence of Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu is at one side, whereas Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem is superior to him millions of degrees. This is just an example to make you understand we're not having any comparison between them. But Amir Muawiyah is a Sahabi at the end of the day. So whoever is a Sahabi, we are submissively devoted to him. Other than this, our beliefs should be correct and sound in relation to the Awliya and Aimai Mujtahideen. Like Hanafis follow Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Majority in Dawat Islami is Hanafi. There are others as well. We also have Shafi'i, who are our responsibles, as Dawat Islami is spread all across the world. But our majority is of Hanafis. We also have the Institutes of Jami'at al-Madinah, where Shafi'i teachers also teach with the grace and mercy of Allah Almighty. So all the four rightly guided Imams, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi'i and Imam Malik, all four of them are our Imams. They are Mujtahid. And Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah has said that the followers of all these four Imams are like actual brothers. These are his words. They are like actual brothers. There's no dispute, no conflict between them. There is a jurisprudential difference of opinion between them, but that's a completely different thing altogether. But in core beliefs, they're all united. All same. Alhamdulillah. So make sure that you're strong and firm in your beliefs. Do not wander around here and there. And furthermore, beautify your character. Beautification of your character is very important. Rectification of deeds is very important. I'll try to present a very logical argument before you, that all the Aimma Mujtahideen that we've had, all the Awliya that we've had, although there would be ocean of knowledge, but just look at their personal acts of worship. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, how great a scholar he is. Nothing needs to be mentioned in this regard. But he was a great worshipper as well. He would worship the entire night. And he would complete 61 Qur'ans during Ramadan al-Kareem. One in the night, one in the day, and one during the Taraweeh. Total 61. Other than that, he would stand the entire night in offering Nawafil. And I think it was for 45 years that he performed Fajr Salah with the Wudu of Isha Salah. Because he was a scholar. Our Imam. Imam al-Azam. So this is one example. Examples of other scholars are also before us, like Ghawth-e Azam was a very big mufti. His worship is very famous. And if you look at other awliya, you will find their performing of worship to be second to none as well. And for ourselves, if we say that we've become very big and very, very learned, then think to yourself that is this claim of yours justifiable? And because of this, we are now lazy in Fard Salah as well. We have no concern for the Jamaat, let alone offering Nawafil in abundance. People don't offer Salah with Jamaat, which is wajib. Then there's no regard for the usage of tongue either. I know what I've done and how I worked to take Dawat-e-Islami where it is today. I had no idea and had never thought that so many people will be with me. I had never even dreamt about this. People also used to say bad things about me. I'm talking about the very start. They used to blame me and say all sorts of things. But no one can ever say to you that Ilyas Qadri punched them back in retaliation, or that Ilyas Qadri made his followers go forward and had them beaten up. Not even a single such account you will be able to find in my seerah ever. So if you want your work to be increased by leaps and bounds, it wouldn't increase through a retaliative approach. You'll have to enter the hearts of the people. Now in this relation, do you know what is the main ingredient to enter people's hearts? Good mannerism. Therefore, all my beloved Madani sons who are listening to me, no matter whatever anyone says, whether they abuse you, whether they say bad things to you, just observe softness and you will see its remarkable outcome. You will see that those people who are against you, those who are envious of you, those who say bad things to you, one day will come when they will start kissing your hands. You'll witness this. If you adopt this approach and tactic of winning hearts, then my sunniyat will attain such elevation that Satan the accursed will be disgraced. There's no compromise on the creed of Ahlus Sunnah and on the teachings of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah. May Allah make this settle in your hearts. If you adopt this in your nature and act accordingly, then all our masajid, all our madaris, all our jami'at will progress so much that Satan the accursed will run away humiliated and disgraced. Inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Some sisters use hair catches and hair pins. Will their masa be valid while these hair catches and pins are on their heads?
How much space do a pin and a catcher cover? According to the Ahnaf, the masah of a quarter head is fard. She should move it a bit here and there
beneath the pin, just like moving a ring or something else.
The masah of the entire head is sunnah. So if they have such things on their head, then the sunnah will be missed out if the moist hand does not reach the part of the head beneath it. So a sunnah will be missed out. However, let's say if the moist hand is rubbed over a quarter of the head, meaning that the wetness reaches there, the masah will be performed. And this is what masah is, that the wetness of water reaches the place of masah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
I've got one question to ask, that on Friday, people turn up late for Friday prayers. They come to masjid after Imam Sahib's speech. If you could please encourage people to come early to masajid and listen speech too.
Well, we should also try to analyze the state of our speech, that what kind of speech do we deliver. Firstly, contemplate the topics of the speech you're delivering. Furthermore, one should also ponder upon the choice of words he uses to deliver his speech. And then another problem is that we don't really know what topics to choose to deliver a speech. We just stick to one or two specific topics, and we just keep delivering speeches over those few topics. And at times our way of delivering the speech is also very aggressive. We ourselves become satisfied, and a couple of people are always there to praise us. They keep praising you like, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, wonderful speech. But who actually heard it? No one. And those who come for khutbah keep looking at the watch. People are not as much passionate. They just come because it's Jumu'ah and they know that they have to offer it. They don't listen to the speech. So choose topics like teaching them the rulings of Salah. I also used to deliver speeches before, and honestly, there would be very few people. Then when Dawat-e-Islami started, then I understood people's psyche. I would travel and go to far and wide areas of Karachi and announce after Salah, please stay behind after Salah, I will teach you the method of funeral Salah. At some places I would announce that I would teach you the method of Wudu. I will teach you the method of Salah. Please stay behind, inshallah, I will teach you the sunnahs of eating. And this was absolutely something new for people. They would stay behind out of curiosity. So alhamdulillah, masajid got filled up, and then we needed space outside the masjid. Then a time came when the ijtima'as would be held outside, and then they were held inside the grounds. So this happened gradually. There were different phases and things happened step by step. Today it's been approximately 40 years and you can see where Dawat-e-Islami has reached. But the approach of good mannerism has played a vital role in it. Then topics like talking about death, talking about the graveyard, actions that are beneficial for the hereafter, talking about the actions that will be beneficial inside the grave. Then the topic of Medina. Talking about Medina is important. Our speech is not complete and remains incomplete without talking about Medina. So talk about the excellences of Medina and at times of Jannatul Baqi, depending on the situation. So when I adopted this very approach for my speeches, people started to enjoy a lot. And because of this very approach, people came close to me. Then people started to keep a beard, adorn their heads with imama. They started to wear clothes according to sunnah. People's characters were improved, their anger was controlled. The environments of homes changed. Domestic disputes and conflicts that we normally used to witness, like between a father and a son, a mother and daughter, etc., came to a great decline. It is with the mercy of Allah Almighty. Today you will see there are thousands of families in Dawat-e-Islami. Which organization is there that you will find that has changed the environments of the homes? Dawat-e-Islami holds this honor. You will see that a mother is also in Dawat-e-Islami and so is the daughter. daughter-in-law, son, father, all are in Dawat-e-Islami. You will find several such families where even small children will be in Dawat-e-Islami. So this, Alhamdulillah, is an approach. So if you ponder upon your own speeches, you'll become the undisputed king of your own area. People will come and consult with you. Upon one call of yours, you'll see that people will stand by you. But first thing first, enter their hearts. Adopt softness, good mannerism, and your way of speech should be full of wisdom. If you become a reformer in true sense, then people will be reformed and you will, inshallah, see it for yourself that this reformation would become such a weapon for you that Satan the accursed will not find any space to escape. Satan will run away. This is just an example to make you understand. Satan will never leave us alone. He's flowing with blood inside our veins. In other words, Satan is being followed. And to a great extent, and this approach will bring some kind of stoppage to it. Like the environment of Dawat-e-Islami is in front of you. With the mercy of Allah Almighty, in the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, you will find many such people who once were robbers, thieves, criminals, but today they are preachers. Their past would be absolutely different. Those who once would remain intoxicated are today devotionally lost in the love of the Prophet. Those who would have the habit of listening to sinful things prior to going to sleep now go to sleep by listening to anath. You would find many such kind of people. Perhaps you've already met some of them. So why are you staying behind? What are you waiting for? Dawat-e-Islami is yours. It is for you. Come and join Dawat-e-Islami. Inshallah, together we'll take it to the next level. We already have come very far. Where is it that you will not find the existence of Dawat-e-Islami? We'll together bring more progress to it. And try to adopt the pattern of Dawat-e-Islami in your speeches. You'll notice that your masjid will fill up. This complaint will end that people come at the time of khutbah. People will be waiting in advance that when will Maulana arrive and teach us sunnahs. Make announcement that today I taught you the sunnahs of ruku'. Next time, inshallah, I will teach you the method of sajda. You will see that those people who have the passion of learning salah will come to the masjid and join you early, thinking that I wonder what new rulings of sajda will we be taught today. At least try for it. It is possible that you don't see results at the start, but people will get to know about it gradually. And those specific people who are passionate to learn about these rulings, they'll come to offer salah behind you from far and wide, saying that this Maulana delivers good speech. He teaches a salah. He taught me how to do wudu. I had so many mistakes in my wudu. I come here to offer my Jum'ah salah and I've also learned how to do wudu. I learned how to do ghusl. If you adopt this very approach, you will see that how wonderful everything will become. And don't delay Jama'ah timing. This is also one of the reasons why people stop attending you. They say things like, these are the timings for Jum'ah Salah, and these people are breaching their promise. This imam breaches his promise. Salah is not valid behind him. Ignorant people say this, that Salah is not valid behind him. He breaches his promise. He doesn't fulfill his promise. The announcement for the Jama'at was at 1:30. We went there and the Jama'at started at 1:45. The same people will create a fuss if a film is shortened a bit, complaining that why didn't it last its full duration? And if you happen to take 2 extra minutes in Salah, they will go against you. So you have to make sure that you go about according to their psyche, if you are to work amongst them. And you have to work amongst them, there's no choice besides this because they're thieves of faith all around. There are so many people out there who are dragging people towards hell using different ploys. And we are to take them in the feet of the Holy Prophet. We are not to drag them nor to push them. We are to lead them. In the feet of the Prophet, their salvation lies there. But with wisdom and sound strategy. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
How important and crucial role does smiling play in the noble cause of the rectification of Ummah? What is your opinion in this regard? Please guide us in detail.
They smile with their friends, isn't it? This is a good thing you drew our attention to. Smiling. You will see people smiling, but only with their friends. Unfortunately. Or our smile will be reserved for any special person. You will see the general public normally is not too generous when it comes to smiling. People distance because of this as well. An imam should be such who frequently smiles and mixes up with people fully. The Imam shouldn't have an attitude that people should come and say salam to me. The Imam himself should be first in saying salam.
Well, don't you think it will hurt one's ego to say salam first?
By Allah, I've seen a very big scholar doing this many a times with my own eyes. Hazrat Ghazali Dora Allama Kazmi Shah Sahib, I'm not his disciple, remember that. He was a scholar of Islam, I admire him. I saw him that whenever I met him or whenever anyone would meet him, then he would be the first one to say salam, he would initiate it. The elderly people who had the privilege of meeting him would know what I'm saying and they would agree with me. So him being a great scholar wouldn't hesitate in being first in saying salam. Moreover, being first in saying salam is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and such a sunnah which is even acted upon today. Read Jazbul Qulub, Shaykh Abdul Haq, Muhaddith Adelwi rahmatullah alayhi says that when a visitor visits the prophetic court, when he visits Madinatul Munawwarah and presents himself in front of the golden grills, before this that, he presents his salam in the court of the beloved Prophet. He already is blessed with the salam from the court of the Prophet, meaning that the blessed habit he had during apparent life, that habit is being practiced upon even today, Hayatul Nabi. So this blessed habit is being practiced even today, and there's a great lesson for us in it. How much do we act upon it? In fact, we don't even say salam, we just extend our hands and we're like, how are you? How have you been? I'm seeing you after such a long time. I hope you're keeping well. There are a large number of people who do not even say assalamu alaikum. And even if they do, the pronunciation would be wrong. How many people do you see who say salam properly and correctly? Whereas, if you think about it, this is such a great and easy reward to attain. If you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, you get 30 good deeds. However, even if you say assalamu alaikum, that is okay as well. But saying the full salam will make you earn more reward. However, I've seen this in the students of Jamia, that they do say the longer salam, not only assalamu alaikum, but only assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. They don't add wa barakatuhu, but not all of them though. They wouldn't mind talking for hours and hours. All sorts of topics. They will keep discussing, but they won't bring wa barakatuhu on their tongues, which would add 10 extra good deeds. I don't know why they don't say it, whether their tongue gets locked up or what is the reason. They don't do it even if you tell them, they aren't used to it. They're not serious about it. Whereas this is a chance to earn good deeds, and there's no hardship or difficulty in it. Therefore, you should learn the exact pronunciation of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The actual point of articulation where they are pronounced from. Everyone should. Madani muzakara. Madani muzakara.